We're actually going to be recording the message, well, actually live streaming to you, and then recording the message audibly to go on the website. If you have your Bible, go ahead and open up to Daniel chapter 12. We have finally reached the end of the book of Daniel. For some of you, that's exciting. For some of you, that's rather disappointing that it's the end. I'm somewhere in the middle, I think. When we started the book of Daniel all the way back in the fall, Daniel, remember, was probably 14, 15, 16 years old, something in that ballpark. I mentioned to you last week that Daniel is now in his mid-80s. It's almost been 70 years since the beginning of the captivity. And as we get to Daniel chapter 10, chapter 10, 11, and 12 are all one unit. In fact, it must have been difficult for the individual that broke up the chapters of Daniel to figure out exactly where those chapter breaks go. So I'm going to give them a little bit of grace, because I probably wouldn't have broken up Daniel chapter 11 and chapter 12 where they did, but it is what it is, and they did an excellent job with the rest of the Bible. Not every single part is exactly where the chapter break probably ought to have been, but hey, our Bible today is easier to reference because someone took the time to go in and say, okay, this should be a chapter, this should be a chapter, this should be a verse, etc. So when we looked at Daniel chapter 10 last week, we noticed that Daniel witnessed a vision. Remember, he had been fasting and praying for about 3 weeks, and then this one that he described as being like topaz and having feet like burnished bronze and a mouth like a voice like a multitude appeared to him. And as this individual appeared to Daniel, he told Daniel a whole lot of things about what was going to happen to the nation of Israel in the future. And so I asked you if you would to watch a YouTube video about Daniel chapter 11, and about 40% of the people that saw the post responded that they had watched that video. If you've not watched that video yet, you're coming into today's message already a little bit behind. So I would suggest that you still watch that video. I've posted it several times on the church's Facebook page. And the idea behind that video is that Daniel chapter 11 is the most detailed prophecy in the entirety of Scripture. And the great thing about that video is the narrator reads Daniel chapter 11, and then on the screen you see the events that fulfilled what was being predicted in Daniel chapter 11. And so because of that, some scholars have said that Daniel couldn't have been written looking into the future, because the visions, the prophecies are so detailed and came to such fulfillment. The problem with that theory is that multiple New Testament authors reference something from the book of Daniel. And I've mentioned in the past that Jesus spoke of the prophet Daniel and the abomination that causes desolation that was written about a couple different times in the book of Daniel. Also, the Apostle Paul makes reference to the book of Daniel. And today we're going to look just for a little bit at where the Apostle John looks at the book of Daniel in the book of Revelation. So the simple fact is that Daniel chapter 11 and chapter 12 had to be looking forward. And parts of Daniel chapter 11 have already been fulfilled, yet not all of it. In fact, there is part of Daniel chapter 11 and part of Daniel chapter 12 that is still in the future, even for us today. So now Daniel is in his mid-80s, and I think he's starting to come to the realization that he's probably never going to see Jerusalem in person again. And so this man comes to Daniel to give him a vision, and this vision is designed to comfort Daniel, to let him know that there is a place for the nation of Israel in the future. In fact, not only is there a place for the nation of Israel in the future, Israel fulfills God's purpose in the future. Although there's a time of trouble coming. In fact, Jesus described it as a time of trouble as has never been seen and will never be seen after that. And that's the same type of wording that we see when we get to Daniel chapter 12. There's coming a time for the nation of Israel that a time of trouble that has never been seen like it in the past. Well, you may be thinking to yourself, well, Israel has faced some major atrocities in the past. Yes, that's absolutely true. I think first and foremost, and probably most of you thought first and foremost when I said that as well, to the Holocaust and the 6 million Jews that were killed during that time. And yet this prophecy says there's coming a time for the nation of Israel even worse than that. If you can, I mean, I hate to imagine that, but if you can imagine that, there's coming a time. So we're going to look at Daniel chapter 12 today, but I want to actually start in Daniel chapter 11, verse 36. So if you'll turn one page back in your Bible, I don't know if it's one page back or not, but turn to Daniel chapter 11, verse 36. And this is where Daniel chapter 11 jumps from being in the past to being in the future. Okay, and the events described from verse 36 on are future events that have not yet been fulfilled. Verse 36. And the king shall do as he wills, and exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak astonishing things against the God of gods. He shall prosper until the indignation is complete. For what is decreed shall be done. He shall pay no attention to the gods of his fathers or to the one beloved by women. He shall pay no attention to any other god, for he shall magnify himself above all, and he shall honor the god of fortresses instead of these gods, a god whom his fathers did not know. He shall honor with gold and silver, with precious and costly stones. He shall deal with the strongest fortresses and with the help of a foreign god. Those who acknowledge him, he shall load with honor. He shall make them rulers over many and shall divide the land for a price. At the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, but the king of the north shall rush upon him with like a whirlwind, with chariots and horsemen and with many ships. And he shall come into countries and shall overflow and pass through. He shall come into the glorious land, and tens of thousands shall fall, but these shall be delivered out of his hand. Edom and Moab, and the main parts of the Ammonites. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall become a ruler of the treasures of gold and of silver, and of all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans, and the Cushites shall follow in his train. But news from the east and the north shall alarm him, and he shall go out with great fury to destroy and devote many to destruction. And he shall pitch his palatial tents between the sea and the glorious mountain. Yet he shall come to his end with none to help him. At that time, Michael, the great prince, who has charge of your people, at that time shall arise Michael, the great prince, who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. Sounds very similar to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and the other on the other bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream, he raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time, that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all things would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? And he said, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. Now, it's a pretty complicated passage. Even for a short passage of scripture, it's pretty complicated. The thing that we need to remember is that that portion of scripture that I started with in Daniel chapter 11 is where the man giving Daniel the vision, who I personally believe is Christ before he was incarnate, he's giving this vision to Daniel, and at Daniel chapter 11 verse 36 is where he jumps into the future of this coming world king, okay? And I don't want to get too much into the weeds in this, because there's all kinds of things we could talk about. We could spend weeks on this passage, but that's not the purpose of this particular message. The purpose of this particular message is to remind us that every single human being is made in the image of God, and every person is everlasting. Whether they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or not, they are everlasting. And as we get into some of this passage, we're going to look at some of these verses about a resurrection from the dead that was predicted in the Old Testament. That's why this is one of my favorite passages of the Old Testament, because just like there are so many passages in the New Testament about the resurrection from the dead, this is one of the few passages in the Old Testament that talk about that very topic. So here's what happens. There arises a king, and he sets up a treaty with the nation of Israel for 7 years. This is what we referred to in Daniel chapter 9 as the 70th week of Daniel. Halfway through that treaty, that seven-year treaty, he breaks his covenant with the nation of Israel. And remember, these things are still future even today. He breaks his covenant with the nation of Israel and begins a persecution of the people of Israel, to which Jesus says, at that time, hope that you're not pregnant or nursing or anything like that, because the Jewish people are going to have to flee into the wilderness during that last 3.5 years. And I believe that that's what the Apostle Paul's referring to in Romans chapter 11 when he talks about all Israel being saved. The idea of being saved, sometimes we look at that word and we think eternal life. Well, it's not always eternal life. Sometimes it's just simply a reference to someone's physical life being preserved. And so Paul explains that at some point, all Israel will be saved. Now, more than likely, almost all of those Israelites that flee into the wilderness will be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be Jewish by race, but Christians by faith. Now, I mentioned the Apostle John, and I mentioned that John writes something very similar to what happens in the book of Daniel. It's another proof that John had access to the book of Daniel. So I want to look for just a moment at Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 1. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and in agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns on his heads and on his head 7 diadems. His tail swept down 1/3 of the stars of heaven and cast them down to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child who is to rule all the nations with the rod of iron. Now, let me pause right there for just a second, because some people believe that this is a description of Mary. And I understand that idea that it might be a description of Mary, because the next part says essentially that she gives birth to Jesus. But I think more likely the woman that's being described here is the nation of Israel as a whole, because of what happens to the woman after she gives birth to this child. Now, listen to this. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne. So that seems an awful lot like a reference to after Jesus rose from the dead, when he ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father until it's time for him to come back to the earth. Now listen, the woman fled into the wilderness. Well, that doesn't seem like it's a reference to Mary, where she has a place prepared to God in which she shall be nourished for 1,260 days. How long is that? In the prophetic language, that's 3.5 years. It sounds an awful lot like the second half of that 70th week of Daniel. Okay, so my interpretation of this is that Israel flees into the wilderness during that time of Jacob's trouble, that time of great tribulation. Verse 7, now there arose a war in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer a place for them in heaven. Now remember, when we were reading the beginning of Daniel chapter 12, it said, at that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. So the idea, and Jude also gives this idea, that Michael is the archangel, and his role is to protect the nation of Israel. So in John chapter 12, it seems like a very clear reference back to Daniel chapter 12, to say Michael is fighting for the people of Israel. And of course, the people of Israel being God's chosen people, Satan continuously wants to destroy them. We already mentioned the Holocaust, but even today there's constant battling with the nation of Israel. We think about the Romans all the way back to 70 AD, and we think about the book of Esther and how the people of Israel were destined to be destroyed, and yet God delivered them. And God always delivers Israel. He always delivers his chosen people. So we've got this reference in Revelation chapter 12, that the devil and his angels fought back and he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accused them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony, for they loved not their lives even to death. Therefore rejoice, O you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, and he knows that his time is short. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of the great eagle, so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness to the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half a time. Where did we just hear that? We just heard that in Daniel chapter 12, right? It says, and I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the water of the streams. He raised his right hand and his left hand towards heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. And that the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. So this seems pretty clear to me that this is a reference to that second half of the 70th week of the book of Daniel. And Daniel's seeing all these things. And remember all the things that he saw in Daniel chapter 11, right? He saw four more kings of Persia arise. He saw the kingdom of Greece arise. He saw the kingdom of Rome arise in Daniel chapter 11. He saw the anointed one, Jesus, And yet he realizes, I'm an 86-year-old man. There's still an awful lot to happen before the end comes. So I think probably Daniel might have been a little bit discouraged. I don't know. I think I probably would have been. If I thought to myself, man, it seems like we've been persecuted for a long, long time. And I've lived my life grasping to that promise from the book of Jeremiah that after 70 years, Israel was going to go back and have their nation finally. And now I'm 85, 86 years old, something like that. And I'm thinking to myself, there's an awful lot that still needs to happen before the end comes. And so what this individual that's speaking to Daniel does is he gives him an encouragement that even though things might not come to pass perfectly during your days, they will come to pass perfectly in God's timing. And even though these things can't hurry up enough for us, God still has a plan and he's still working it together for good. In the end, we know we've read the end of the story and God wins. And even if I breathe my last breath in this body, I know that he's preparing a place for me. So here's what he says outside of the visions, because I could get even deeper into the weeds with all of this, but I want us to make sure that we don't miss the point. And here's what it says in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting contempt. And I want to jump from there down to the very last book or very last verse of this book, and then we'll jump back up in just a few minutes. Okay. So verse 2 again says, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. That's a reference to the resurrection. Some to everlasting life and some to everlasting contempt. At the end of this period of time, everyone who's died will be resurrected. And they'll stand before God and they'll have to say, God will say something to the effect of, why should I let you into my kingdom? And the only answer that satisfies that question is, I've placed my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know that his blood covers my sins. And that's the answer that gets you in. Any other answer besides that leads to what that verse calls that everlasting contempt. But Daniel had confidence that he was not of that latter group, but of that first group. It says in verse 13, but go your way, Daniel, to the end, and you shall rest. You shall rest. So God is telling Daniel here, these things are not going to come to pass during your time. They're going to come to pass when I'm ready to make them come to pass. But you are going to breathe your last breath in this body, Daniel, and you're going to die, and you're going to be buried. And then it says, you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of days. So Daniel's given this promise that not only is he going to be raised from the dead, another translation says, you will rise to receive your inheritance. You will rise to receive your inheritance. It's a promise to Daniel that all of the things that he's done during this period of time, even though he's been persecuted for the last 70 years, it will all be made right. And yes, he's going to breathe his last breath and he's going to die. But one day he'll be resurrected to receive his reward. Listen to what, I'm jumping back to verse 3. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky. Let me give you an alternative translation to that. There's an alternative translation to that that says, those who impart wisdom shall shine like the brightness of the sky. And I actually prefer that translation of it because of what it's coupled with in the rest of this sentence. Listen to the rest of the sentence. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. It's a great promise to us. It really is. This, I believe, is a reference, even in the Old Testament, to not only the resurrection of the dead, but also eternal rewards that faithful believers can receive. Listen again. Those who impart wisdom will shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. I think that should be a challenge to each and every one of us, to live our lives, whether we're in quarantine or not, with the idea of, as we are able to impart wisdom to other people, or as we are able to lead other people to the Lord Jesus Christ, we set up for ourselves what Jesus called treasures in heaven, that one day we will receive our allotted inheritance, whether we breathe our last breath or not. God is preparing not only a place for us, but an eternal reward in heaven. And even Daniel, even more than 500 years before Jesus Christ was born, was promised that very same thing, a resurrection and an inheritance. So even when this life is tough, we can persevere by clinging to those special promises. And we can become like those in Hebrews chapter 11, who, even though they didn't receive the promises in person, they looked forward to a future great reward, knowing that God is faithful and that he will fulfill his promises. So let's cling to that, no matter what we go through. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this opportunity to worship together. Even though we are not in the same room, we are still gathered as your people, Lord. We thank you for your word and the great and powerful promises of it. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, and the fact that we have forgiveness of our sins, a future resurrection, and a future inheritance, Lord. When times are tough, help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, so that we can persevere and one day receive those rewards that you have promised for us. We thank you so much. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Matt. I love you talking prophecy. It's awesome. It's going to be coming one day. Well, here's a song we love to sing together. Here I Am to Worship. It talks about being the light of the world, Jesus being the light of the world, and stepping down into our dark world. Pastor Matt talked about us being lights in the world today. So let's shine like stars. Let's sing this together. Don't make me sing it by myself now. Come on. Let's go. Thank you.
Just a couple quick announcements. In case you didn't see my Friday video, this coming Sunday, June 7th, it's going to be what we're going to consider our first Regathering Community Sunday, although it's just going to be a dress rehearsal for when Michigan goes into Phase 4. So the only ones in attendance this coming Sunday, June 7th, are going to be those who are volunteering in a very specific role, okay? The Sunday after that, we will have sent out to you the Regathering playbook for Phase 4, and then we will begin accepting reservations. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to go back to Friday and watch that video, okay? Let's pray one more time, and then thank you again for joining us, whether you've joined us live or you've joined us for the recording. We thank you so much that you've worshiped with us. Father, we thank you again that we can lift your name high, Lord. We thank you that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that you are an everlasting God. Father, I pray that we would continue to lift you high, Lord. As long as you keep us breathing in these bodies, we'll continue to worship you. We'll continue to honor you with our lives, Lord. And then one day we'll see you face to face, and we look forward to that day. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.